Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Extreme Rules Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to this weekend's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we talk about Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week completes with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to the Extreme Rules pay-per-view this weekend. We will, of course, be doing the live stream for it on Sunday night. Join myself and Phil Chambers for a bit of a watch-along. And, of course, myself and Hamflett will be reviewing it in the small hours of Monday morning. So if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, that will drop straight into your feed as soon as it is released. Now, of course, this year's pay-per-view can't hope to live up to the horror show that was last year, but still looking forward to this.
Yeah, they'll do their best, won't they? I mean, again, after last night's SmackDown, I don't know if the WWE Universe, as we are all part of, can possibly recover from Dominic turning on Ray. So the event will like take place under a bit of a cloud, if we're honest. I don't want to talk about that now. It's still too raw. I only watched it a few hours ago, it being Saturday, and it's just, I still feel a bit on edge about the whole situation. I'm keen to hear Dominic's comments before I want to comment any further myself. So we'll try and get through this. But it does sort of feel like, with everything that happened to Ray Extreme Rules last year, and now this year, he's not in on the card, but he's got to consider what happened with his son just last night.
Yeah. Last year, you lost your eye. This year, you lost your son. Which was worse? yes, of course, we were recording this in advance. At time of recording, 6 matches on the Extreme Rules card, although I do hope that they hoy on a Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship match, for example. But let's start with the obvious place to start, that being the Universal Championship match. Someone's recent O, I suppose, because Roman Reigns has lost in the past, but the Demon hasn't on the main roster. Someone's O's got to go. Will Roman Reigns beat the Demon? It feels like the next logical step in this dominant streak of his.
Yeah, he will. And that's possibly the end of it. The Demon is really cool. I like the Demon. I get why it's not for everybody, but I think it's pretty cool. But so much of its power relies on that unbeaten record it's got on the main roster. I know it lost a cage match. Like, I know as the Demon, Finn Balor lost a cage match in NXT. But they've done a really good job at protecting it. And not just protecting it. For the most part, with like only maybe one exception I can think of off the top of my head, they've made the idea of the gimmick feel quite important, quite powerful and potent. The Andrade match in Saudi Arabia is the one that sticks out as this. Why is that? Why is that happening? And it's obviously just because they wanted it.
Yeah. You know,
they wanted the Demon. And it's funny we mentioned Saudi Arabia, because WWE were really onto something with this, in my opinion, until they flashed the graphic of Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in Saudi Arabia up. And that little shred of doubt, as you say, the O's got to go, that might have existed before the match disappeared. There is no doubt anymore. There is not even... And even then, I think some of the doubt, myself included, was a bit performative. You were wanting more to feel it on, like, you were wanting to believe that you could feel on the night that, like, Roman Reigns might lose the title. That was what you were wanting to get, and I think the Demon would have provided that, just like Edge did, and John Cena did, I guess. You would have had all that, had they not basically jumped forward with the story. Now, I know that there's every chance that you maybe don't have a finish, let's say, for example. You don't need a conclusive result, and that way the demon is protected. But that sense is crap. The demon is protected. Mm. Like that is a rubbish sentiment and a terrible way to use this character.
Yeah, the so demon can't really go to a count out.
Yeah, that's it, you know. I want to see that as much as I want to see the demon celebrating on his arse on the ramp, like having stolen one, like the demon steals a win. It just, yeah, it all feels quite a shame, I think, that this is going to play out the way it is. Brock Lesnar might be there. You know, he might get involved.
I can say, would you think Brock Lesnar shows up?
I think so. Whether or not he interferes in the match or he just waits for his moment and physically takes out Roman and forces Paul Heyman there and then to either stay at ringside with a beaten down Roman or go with him. Like, not that he's going to say, you're coming with me, but, you know, the message will be there. Where's it? Like, it's him. They'll probably have him stand in the middle of the two, won't he? Like, he'll stand in the middle of the aisle and it isn't clear which way his head's going to go. So I think they'll do that, but I'm not sure he interferes in the match. And I think it's likely that it mirrors what happened with Edge, where Roman was kind of wanting the ring and then John Cena returns. I think this is going to happen here. I think he has the ring. He's beaten Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar comes out for a big show closing brawl, similar to SummerSlam.
Very often I say this. In WWE's defense, there could be a title change. You could very easily have four huge matches on the men's side of things. Understand me, I'm focusing mainly on the men's side of things when it comes to Saudi Arabia. By the end of this night, you could have new Universal Champion Finn Balor. You could have WWE Champion Big E. They can face whoever you want. And then you'd also potentially have Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. Goldberg said he wasn't bothered about the title anyway when Lashley was champ. And this match is going to go ahead one way or another. It could just be that they have Roman versus Brock non-title, or, you know, no title involved whatsoever, or Finn versus... I don't know, but I think they've, as best as they can, because like you said, I don't know why they needed to even announce it. It's not like, quick, let's get those ticket sales going in Saudi.
So silly, like so strange.
But regardless of all that, how they do this is going to be fascinating. And I hope that they, you know, in terms of, I don't think they can protect the demon in many, in a loss in very many ways. But I think it's going to be a sensational battle. And I think because it's the demon, because it's not just little Finn Balor, I think I'm going to bite on a pinfall on this. I think he's going to hit some huge coup de grace, and maybe they can even lean on the history of the coup de grace on Roman Reigns, taking away all those big opportunities, especially when it comes to the Universal Championship, as I think of it. I think I might bite on it, you know?
Are you pitching some LTST here? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, it's right there.
A little bit of LTST, I think so. Yeah, no, I this is it. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not necessarily suggesting that, like, other people won't get a lot of enjoyment out of this. I personally feel like they've kind of deflated what could have been a reasonably big moment on the night. I'd happily be proved wrong, though. I'd like this match to rule. I really want this to be a strong main event.
I realise I, you know, kind of took the piss at the start. And, you know, circumstances as they were when it happened, it's a very different mindset. But I'm far more looking forward to this year's Extreme Rules than I was last year's. You know, whether or not there's a WWE Championship match, if even if there isn't, it's probably better than the Extreme Rules match where only one person can use Extreme Rules. I mean, the time of recording, we've got one Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
Extreme Rules.
Surely they've got to step up the rest of the card. A couple of things we're going to talk about here are from SmackDown. So by the time you listen to this, maybe they have. You know, maybe like something's on it. I was thinking that they might do that thing they do where, you know, on TLC season where suddenly somebody starts using a chair or somebody starts climbing a ladder or somebody gets somebody's dead dad printed on a table. You know, the tried and tested methods of wrestling. Maybe you'll get that on SmackDown where one of these feuds spills out a little bit and it gets a stipulation added.
Get ready. I'm about to make a massive tit of myself yet again. One match that doesn't need stepping up, which means it's definitely going to be on SmackDown, is Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair. That sells itself.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this. And emotionally invested too. I'm really, really keen to see how this goes with Becky Lynch working as a heel. She's never, that I can remember, done it on the main roster, ever. She briefly worked as a heel in NXT, but the character was obviously so beloved. The original character, as well as, you know, eventually, you know, becoming the man, so beloved that attempt to turn heel didn't work, did it? She worked maybe, what, three or four times where she was kind of a bit cowardly against Charlotte Flair. Mm-hmm. I think you remember that title defence in Australia where she just like took the belt and left. But even then, because she was developing into the man, it was just more of an edgy baby face than it was a heel. This is going to be like a different kettle of fish. It's going to be her working as a main eventer, as a star, wanting to show that she's still got it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Having just recently come back and faced quite a lot of criticism for the, well, for the choice that it seems that she's made about turning heel, and indeed the, you know, the booking of this, what happened at SummerSlam. Belair as the underdog babyface is always awesome. I say underdog, I don't quite mean underdog. She has to fight from underneath, but only because the person she's fighting doesn't realize what she can do, even though she calls herself the EST and she's the fastest, the strongest, the greatest. They seem to underestimate that.
Mm.
And I love watching that in matches. She did it. She mastered that with Shayna Baszler in NXT. We saw it at WrestleMania with Sasha Banks. The better of the two Bayley matches. I think it was the Hell in a Cell one. You got some of it there as well. I think that like she's really, really great in that role. I don't think she'll win. I don't want to predict the second match in a row, but my gut feeling is this doesn't have a finish. I think they're going to go another month on this, and then that will be when they have to make the tough decision of whether or not they change the title back, whether or not Becky has returned and has already eaten quite a substantial loss. I can't see her losing. Basically, I can't see Becky Lynch losing so soon after coming back, but I can't see them wanting to beat Bianca Belair here. So I think they'll just avoid the problem altogether and it'll get thrown out to set up a rematch.
Not to book another interference, but potentially Sasha Banks, someone suggested on the news, for example.
Yeah, it's all of that is very strange because narratively, like we probably know what's gone on here, but narratively they never even attempted to tie that into anything. It was just, here's a video package of Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Sasha Banks isn't here. So like they never once tried to, ahead of the show, ahead of SummerSlam, tease that she might be out or any of that sort of stuff. So it's quite difficult to bring her back into stories. Like, does she come back in as the heel she was when she left? She'll likely get a great response, so will she be a natural babyface? Does it make sense for her to be a babyface because Becky Lynch is now a heel? Do you have her as the tweener because you've already got a clear babyface and heel in a three-person feud? I don't know. Like, I'm not interested in it because it's Sasha, but I think it's harder than they think it is to make this make sense.
It's a tough one to call this because I wouldn't be averse for them hot potato in this title back and forth between the two of them for a bit. Like I said, with the characters you've got involved in this, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, three of the nine Bs of SmackDown. I can't remember how many I have now. You should be able to get to the Royal Rumble at a bare minimum with those three in the title picture at every pay-per-view. Now, I don't know what's going to go on at Crown Jewel. I never know how they're going to book it I certainly don't think they're going to do any title switches there. So putting that to one side, the fact that it's Survivor Series next actually, for me, raises more questions than answers. Because I look at that and I go, well, the obvious match, if we're just going to assume brand warfare, yeah, and you know, we'll talk more about Charlotte and Alexa next, and arguably doesn't really matter because you're saying, well, you could have SmackDown represented by Becky Lynch going up against Charlotte again. It's a classic match. It is genuinely good, and it's been so long that people will be looking forward to it. And the roles are going to be interesting in that. Or you could have Becky versus Alexa. But that also means that you could also get Bianca Belair in some dream matches that we haven't seen yet from her. Now, you've got a bit of time to go to get to Survivor Series. They may well do some title match on telly. And that's why I say I don't think that necessarily just because someone walks out of Extreme Rules with the title, they're going to be at the next Survivor Series pay-per-view with that belt. And you've got, and we're still assuming, Queen of the Ring. So it's almost like, I think, I don't want to have Bianca Belair lose again, but if she loses a hard-fought battle here, she can immediately recover by winning Queen of the Ring. I genuinely can't call this. On the night, you know, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, this is it. I suppose, like, especially when you put it like that, and I'd forgotten about the Queen of the Ring. Which feels like something that would be perfect for a babyface, even though it's WWE and they often tend to lean into heels for this kind of thing.
Because it's not Charlotte.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It does sort of have to be anyone but Charlotte. Yeah, no, I'm really, really interested in this match. And I hope, I like both women a lot, and I really hope it delivers as well.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's talk about the tag team title match. I'm hoping that now this has come out after SmackDown, they've maybe put some sort of ladder stip on this because the Street Profits are great at ladder matches and the Usos are great at everything. Now, you and I sort of stumbled into how we booked this on our SmackDown preview yesterday, which was Naomi gets involved. Mm-hmm. Naomi cockshots one of Montez Ford or Angelo Dawkins, cost them the match because I could watch these two teams fight quite a few more times. And if this is a route to establishing Naomi as a heel, I think it'd be fantastic. Or your alternative, of course, is the Usos let down the bloodline. And that's another whole nother kettle of fish, especially with Brock Lesnar on the horizon for Roman.
Yeah, I think the time probably isn't now for the Usos to be losing the titles. It's not the end of the world, and it certainly isn't the end of the bloodline. Like, them having the belts isn't, it's far from their, like, chief, no pun intended, characteristic as a group. It's great that they've got them. It's a nice visual. But even if you look at that T-shirt that they love at the moment with the bloodline image on, it's only Roman wearing the belt, I think. I don't think he's got, like, it's great they've got the belts now, but I don't think that's, like,
Chad Gable was pissed off, by the way, because he was doing the one finger thing.
He was, that's right, yeah.
Maybe LTST, maybe we've stumbled.
Yeah, we found Roman's WrestleMania opponent, finally. I'm looking forward to this to a degree. The Street Profits have been in unreal form lately. We've, like, talked a lot. It feels like we mentioned once a week just how great Montez Ford is, and I think he's going to make the most of this, at least, because I do think they'll lose. I do think that I'd love the Naomi thing to happen, and I think it's as cool a way as any to bring her into the group to, like, resolve this issue that she's having with Sonya Deville. Well, I'll take matters into my own hands then. Or should that be take cacks and balls into my own hands when she does a low blow?
I just want to see a huge Montez Ford splash off a ladder, if I'm honest.
That'd be pretty cool, yeah. He does make it look, like, extra terrifying.
And don't make it in a tables match, so they move out of the way and he looks like a twat.
I just don't think right now is the time for the Street Profits, and I worry for them a little bit. I think that's why, like, they'll probably want this to be as good as it possibly can be. There is no movement once you've had your title shot. It's not like there's WWE are good with, like, elegant solutions to teams that have just been beaten in title matches. It's just, right, off you go for a bit. It's another team's turn. Like, they'll move on to, like, they'll babyface the Dirty Dogs or something like that, you know. You could have put them against the Mysterios before, obviously, Friday's tragic occurrence. but, like, yeah, they'll just, the Usos will move on to something new, and the Street Profits will probably get nout. So as much as I don't want it to happen, I think it's going to be the Usos retaining. And then just hopefully, Montez Ford in particular, like, steals so much focus that the Street Profits have to continue being profiled in the way they have been.
But with a card with, at the time of recording, only six matches on, this has, without a doubt, potential to be match of the night. Obviously, shenanigans for a finish probably would weaken it somewhat, but if it goes on earlier and we do get Naomi interference, I don't know whether that convinces me more or less that Bianca leaves for SmackDown Women's Champion, because he feels like that maybe is something she could transition to as well, as we talked about on the SmackDown preview. But yeah, I'm really excited to watch these two teams go. I know we've seen it a fair bit on telly with, you know, all the spots and no results, basically. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's another one where I'm like, I know people roll their eyes and go, oh, bloody rematch in WWE. But when it's these guys doing it, I'm almost okay with it all. Let's move on and talk about a match that may or may not happen. We are recording this before SmackDown, as we keep saying. And if Liv Morgan can't beat the 0-9 Zelina Vega, then this match doesn't happen. But at the time of recording, there's no stipulation, although it could change to winner breaks loser's nose for Liv Morgan versus Carmella.
Yeah, no no face punching or something like that. It's odd, this man, isn't it? Like, this is mirroring what happened with Liv Morgan at Money in the Bank, if I'm not mistaken. That is other people getting matches and she's got to win matches to get matches. But in this case, the match was already announced. It'd be like, if this was the Money in the Bank one, it'd be like putting her in the ladder match, making the graphic, and then saying, oh yeah, but you got to like beat four people to get in. Well, I'm in it already. I just won't do that. Like, this match has been announced. Why doesn't she just say to Sonya Deville, no? Or like, why? Like, I don't like when WWE do this, basically.
No.
This match doesn't feel heated, and I dare say that whatever happened between the two on SmackDown last night hasn't changed that. Watch now, it'd be like the hottest angle of the year or something like that. But it just doesn't feel like a topical concern, any of this. And yet, I really like Liv Morgan and Carmella. I think they're both underrated in very different ways. Carmella has had way more good matches than I think she gets credit for. It's a crap gimmick at the moment, it is. It's lame. It's one note. She's had a few of them too. But she works very hard to be as convincing as possible in the matches. She like knows how to wrestle like her character would, and I really appreciate that, and I think it makes the matches all better. Liv Morgan probably doesn't get enough respect for how well she bumps, how well she commits to the very little she's actually afforded. So yeah, I'm actually really pleased this is on the card, even though it's that faint praise is faint for a reason. Story's not that interesting. I think they'll struggle to get much reaction from the crowd without it. And I just, it screams, like, especially without a stipulation, like, it screams kickoff relegation, this.
Mm.
And like, and that is the stuff that pisses me off, because you're just dashing people's hopes for no reason. Not just the fans of the wrestlers themselves. You just say, no, you know, like, they'll be, as of right now, assuming that this is all going ahead, they'll be pacing the floor, wanting this to be as good as it can possibly be. They'll see this as a quote-unquote opportunity,
yeah,
grabbing the brass ring, all that WWE cliched nonsense, and yet WWE has the power and has done this time and time again to just whip it away. So I've got my concerns that this is going to get pulled at the last minute, but I hope they both have a great night, because they both probably deserve more than they've been getting.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'd say out of all the matches on this card, this is the match with the result that I'm most confident of. You have to have Liv Morgan.
It's a Liv Morgan win, isn't it? Yeah, it's got to be. Like, there's nothing in the Carmella gimmick at the moment that requires this win.
Right, let's talk about the triple threat for the United States Championship. Obviously, we should show some deference towards that title.
And God bless the United States.
So there we go. That's that covered off. Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. When this was Damian Priest versus Sheamus, again, it seemed a very, very straightforward match. The triple threat changes that slightly, and the looming draft in a week or so also makes this not as straightforward, because we've talked about how Damian Priest has been Teflon to bad booking. Mm. He was in a zombie lumberjack match, let's not forget, this year, and he's still over like Rover, and there is an argument to be made that he could well switch brands. He could go to SmackDown, and he could be the guy that they eye up for, let's just say, either a match with Roman at the Royal Rumble, or even a Royal Rumble win. Yeah. Who knows? So him dropping the title here isn't as big of a, oh God, what this is bad situation for him to be in, because in a week's time, it could all be forgotten. Mm. Nevertheless, I still think he retains here.
Yeah, what you've said is correct, but it doesn't feel right for him to lose this particular match, I don't think. It's a weird one, this man. So Sheamus and Damian Priest is a kind of combination or a match that everybody's lost interest in, haven't they? Like, it's done, it's finished. But adding Jeff Hardy to the mix doesn't really change that. It doesn't, like, transform your emotion towards it. Jeff Hardy was in the mix with the 24/7 dweebs and was going 50-50 with Karrion Kross. That is not title contention form, regardless of a win that you steal on the go-home edition of a television show. It's just odd and completely at odds with the supposed prestige of titles. I guess it makes the title feel less important by default, because a guy has just basically got into it with the greatest of ease. And if it makes the title feel less important, it makes the champion feel less relevant, and thus your Damian Priest success story yet again gets poleaxed. It's rubbish, really. It is. It's lousy stuff. But I've got a fondness for Damien Priest. I always have.
I love that flip. I hope he does the flip over the post.
Yeah, it's great. He's got a couple of surprises like that. He only like sort of drops in every now and then just to remind you that he can, but he doesn't need to use it all the time. I wouldn't say he's underrated, but I just think, yeah, he's got some surprises. I like that it's working. It is so riddled with malfunction, WWE, that you just like to see something going well for somebody. And things have gone well for Damien Priest, as you say, in spite of ludicrous obstacles. So it's going to be a very functional win. And here, that's my functional prediction after a bit of functional analysis. It's like fair play if somebody's getting goosebumps for the prospect of Priest, Sheamus, Hardy. But I'm not.
I think this was made into a triple threat. As ridiculous as this sounds, so they could do weapon stuff at an Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Yes.
In which case, just make it a singles match with extreme stipulations. But nevertheless, yeah, we're going to get, I think, lots of weapon stuff, lots of Sheamus breaking his nose, and all his face getting busted open. And probably, if I had to guess, a retention for Damian Priest, but a frustrated Sheamus who wants one more shot at the title in some bonkers Saudi match that will go 10 minutes because, yeah, I feel like they can do some fun stuff and they love a bit of pyro and Damian Priest's entrance lends himself lovely to that. So, yeah, maybe he's got Jeff Hardy beat because he took the mask off and hit him with it as he was going for a swanton bomb, but then in comes Damian Priest to just, I don't know, batter both of them, really. But yeah, I think we see a title retention. The final match we have to talk about, of course, there's another title on the line, the Raw Women's Championship. A match we sort of went, this is definitely going to happen at Extreme Rules a few months back. Mm-hmm. And yet, on this week's Raw, we thought, oh, maybe they'll actually do good stuff rather than spooky bollocks.
Again, I feel like I'm on a bit of an island and I might be made to look an absolute fool on the show on Sunday. But I think that WWE are doing some work here, genuinely. I think, and it doesn't always work because this character of Alexa Bliss is really absurd, but I think what they're trying to do is create the idea that Charlotte Flair is underestimating what Alexa can bring to this title match, partly because she's short, partly because she's got a non-spate gimmick. but they've used the promos and then the subsequent attacks to show that Alexa Bliss can still do the thing that everybody liked Alexa Bliss for once upon a time. She can wrestle. And whatever you think of this look and this act and mind games and all of the nonsense that comes with it, the, you know, everything that's a runoff of the Bray Wyatt gimmick, Charlotte, of all people, should know better. You're the queen. You've lost as many belts as, like, one less belt than all those ones you've won. Like, so you should, by this point, be wise to not be so condescending to a character. And I think this match might be really good in service of that story, or at least I'll try for it to be. As it won't be silly stuff, it won't be like daft cartoon this Alexa Bliss bollocks. It'll be a legitimately great match, to the point where I even think she might not wear that bin bag and she might wear a wrestling gear. Like, and it might be this tell that, like, Charlotte has grossly underestimated her and Alexa has spotted an opportunity to try and actually, when she's seen the title, she's thought, oh, hang on, I used to be a really interesting pro wrestler instead of this weird infantilized oddball that nobody wants to be around anymore. Mm. Maybe I'll become the wrestler again. You know, she's like, the belt itself is luring her away from her current law. She'll lose because it's in Ohio. So she's not going to win this match. But but I think it'll form part of this story that pulls Alexa Bliss back from this gimmick into something close to her old one. And I won't hate on WWE for peppering stuff within their promos to get us there.
And we've booked a lot of interference so far in this show, but do you see any interference from in this match?
I mean,
or even, hang on, wait a second.
No, Wilborn, I don't think one of the two inanimate objects you've made a bit out of will run in. I can't see it.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
yeah, maybe. Maybe there'll be that daft stuff, but I just can't see Alexa winning. I think, but then, no, I don't think there will be, because I do think they're going to try and lean with being a wrestler again.
Do you know what? I'm going to disagree with you on this one. We've agreed mostly across the board here. I think Alexa leaves with the title.
Right-o.
Do you know why? A, I think that there's a possibility that they're going to do some spooky bollocks. And yeah, that tends to pay off temporarily for the spoopy. And it's nearly Halloween, so why not? And number two, tell me if I'm way off base here, but Essential probably agree with me. Considering the current news cycle, I think they want to get a Flair to break a Flair's record.
Ooh.
And an on and off title. Give it me, give it you, give it me, give it you. Oh, look at that. Now the most record-holding person in the world is Charlotte Flair, and there's no other Flairs.
Nice. Interesting, yeah. Because, yeah, she could win it on Sunday, and it's like, so what? She loses it back on Raw.
Exactly.
It's effectively what happened with Nikki A.S.H., isn't it? Like, give or take.
You're going like, oh, take it off you.
Yeah.
Give it back to you.
Maybe. Maybe, yeah. Like, when you put it like that, it's a strong pitch.
It's a strong pitch, and it's like, what, you know, what beats what? It's like the rock, paper, scissors of WWE. On the one hand, you've got awful PR for them, removing Ric Flair and replacing him, thankfully, with someone who's a lot less cancelled in The Ultimate Warrior as part of their opening signature to the show. But on the other hand, hometown. You can never win your hometown. You can't even have a fucking homecoming celebration that goes well in your hometown. So what beats that basically?
In WWE, Will One, what beats paper, rock, and scissors?
These nuts.
Why can't me and Cedric do the button stuff? What is this? The
law of the buttons.
That's what it is. That button board is your Lily. Like, in our hands, it terrifies us and we can't function with it. You make spooky magic that controls all of us.
Do you mean spook? Right, anyway.
Right on, thank you. Extreme.
Big E retains, by the way. He's got the title match. If they hoid that,
yeah, one, yeah, Big E retains. Yeah.
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of Extreme Rules on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. As I said, we'll be doing a live stream, myself and Phil Chambers, watching Extreme Rules with you guys, going through the motions. Join us on WhatCulture Wrestling's YouTube channel on Sunday night for that, and then myself and Hamflett will be back in this studio in the small hours of Monday morning picking the bones of this show. So if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from, that will drop into your feed as soon as it is released, and I'll make sure there's no spoilers in the title because I know that upsets people, so I always try and stop doing that because I know what that's like. Anyway, this has been the Extreme Rules preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.